morning. Welcome to Crack at the Rulers, up bright and early this morning. The alarm went off and we just thought, let's do it, didn't we, Ewan?
We did. Let's I was bouncing, though. I'd been up since 4 o'clock, so.
Had you?
Yeah, no, I'm a regular 4 or 5 o'clock person, wake up. Just lie there, no. Huffing and puffing, and then I get out of the shower and go. And...
Oh, no, I'm an alarm. The alarm goes off, I go. So welcome to Crack at the Rulers. As always, we're joined by Ewan Rankin. Introduce yourself, young man.
Morning, everyone. My name's Ewan Rankin. I'm a Birmingham-based photographer, and I push the buttons.
He pushes the buttons.
And I get told when not to do funny noises down here because I've been told off this morning already.
Yes, yes. Well, you haven't been told off.
I've been pre-warned I'm going to be told off.
I politely advised you. It would really make me angry if you did that. And you don't like me when I get angry,
no,
do you?
I don't. I'm scared.
We are also joined by the amazing and very, very interesting Steve Woods, hypnotist. Hello, Steve.
We know he's interesting because he told us he was and made us believe it.
Yes.
Yes, good morning. I've put the watch down somewhere. I'm not sure whereabouts it is, yes, but you're all back in the room.
Well, yeah, we're back in the room.
Mate, you're supposed to at the end.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll edit that bit out.
Welcome, welcome. You've done podcasts before, haven't you? You've got your own one, haven't you?
Yes, I have, yes. Yeah, so very infrequent, but yes. Yeah. And I don't tend to do it live, so I have lots of opportunities to go back and re-edit and re-edit.
No, on this one, when we mess up, we mess up.
Apologies for the vehicle that's currently backing up in the background.
Yeah. That's fine, don't
Excellent
worry.
Excellent time.
As long as it doesn't hit my car outside, that's okay. So coming up, we're going to have a brilliant conversation with Steve all about how he got into hypnotism. We're also going to talk about the types of services that he offers now, what his clients get out of it, what he gets out of it. Hopefully we'll have a few funny stories as well. We'll do the usual what's on around the area. A couple of tastings. Obviously, it's Go Sober for October, so we've got some alcohol-free beers.
You're joking.
Yeah, alcohol-free beers.
Right, you can push your own buttons now.
Just push the buttons.
Can't believe. I didn't start this podcast with you so that you could bring alcohol-free stuff.
Well, that's the way it goes.
Drytober.
Drytober, yeah. But these are really good.
Hang on, we've already had Dry January.
We weren't doing a podcast in Dry January.
No, I know, but I've already been dry for 1 month this year. Why have I got to do another? Sober for October, Dry January. It's a government ploy to get us all to stop drinking.
No, it isn't. The country would fall to a halt. Imagine if they didn't have all the revenue from all the drink.
No, I know.
That
yes,
would definitely. Be very bad.
I'm actually situation. Looking forward to these, just joking apart. Because,
they're good.
Because generally speaking, alcohol-free beer that I've tried in the past is disgusting.
Yeah.
And I'm desperate to find one that's awesome.
There are some good ones. I've had a few of them on the bar where we've gone, oh, no. And they're still sitting in the unit now. Just can't sell them. No one wants them. Even free. I'm like, do you want one of these for that? No, thank you. No.
Pour them out. Get yourself an air rifle. Stand them on a wall. Shoot at them.
Okay.
Or might be very nice. Give them a chance.
Oh, okay, yeah, that too. Well, you can scrape them up and put them in the skip. So.
Yeah, we could do that. We'll give it a go. Yeah. So we're going to do all those things. Talking about a few events that we've been to this week. So we've got I've been to Ladies Fighting Breast Cancer.
I went to one
yesterday. Fantastic event. Were you at one yesterday as well?
I was at China in the West Midlands yesterday. An event at the Hippodrome. It was brilliant.
Was it?
Yeah. Aww. Really good.
Okay, we'll talk about that later.
Later.
Later. Right, okay, Fab. Should we do what's coming up around the area first of all, Mr. Ewan Rankin?
Well, it's a bit of a weird one this week.
Yeah.
And the Bring Your Own Baby Comedy Festival.
Bring Your Own Baby Comedy Festival. I haven't heard about this.
Today at 12 o'clock at Symphony Hall, and it's a comedy festival, and it's titled Bring Your Own Baby. But it's also this weekend is the Birmingham Crack, which is a comedy festival for the whole region. There's a fair few events going on, but Sunday evening there's a big thing at Symphony Hall as well.
All right. So the Birmingham Crack one, what's that one? Bring that up.
So Birmingham Crack, I'm just trying to get it. Here we go. Crack is back for Birmingham Comedy Festival. As always, we'll be celebrating the best and new up-and-coming acts as you join us for this very special event. It's at the Town Hall, Symphony Hall.
Oh, brilliant. I absolutely love that place.
The page. And tickets are only £5. So if you'd like to go.
Yeah. Does it say what comedians are on or anything?
Yes, the artists are Mary Flanagan, who's emceeing it, Harriet Dyer, who's the headliner. Now, I think she's the lady that used to write with Joe Brand, and I think she spoke at my rugby club dinner, and she was awesome.
Oh.
We went to a rugby club dinner, and you traditionally have someone speaking. It's usually a sports personality or something like that.
Yeah.
And we got a lady comedian booked, and I'll say, well, okay. This may not go down as well as I thought it should do, but she was awesome. She was absolutely brilliant. If that's her, Pete Phillipson, Aaron Wood, and Lovell Smith.
That should be a really good one. Yep. So if you're looking for something to make you laugh this evening, that's the one to go to.
I'm going to find a picture of Harriet Dyer on Google Images. So no,
is that on tonight, did you say? All weekend.
That's Sunday night at 10:30. No, it's not her.
Yeah, so Sunday, if you're looking for something to do, there you go, Town Hall.
Birmingham Crack. And Bring Your Own Baby Comedy Festival today.
How does that work? What's that about? It's obviously, I don't think you actually come with a baby. Yeah.
Tickets entry, free entry for people with babies now.
Yeah.
Huh? I think it's free entry if you've got a baby. You get free entry if you've got a baby.
It's obviously a way of being able to get people in there at the doors and saying it's fine for bring your kids along and things like that. Yeah. Which is brilliant.
Birmingham Comedy Festival, 4th to the 13th of October.
Marvellous.
Ladies Fighting Breast Cancer. Tell us about that one.
Oh, this was brilliant. So this was the first time I've been to an event for these, and talk about inspirational women that just really just get results and raise a whole load of money. Like on the night, obviously everyone bought tickets to go, but then on the night there was also a raffle and they raised nearly £3,000 on the raffle as well on that night. Which they said would buy, I think it was 90 bras for ladies. Obviously, bra after you've had a mastectomy is a whole different ballgame. You can't just walk into M&S and get yourself a bra. And the ones the NHS were saying, I was talking to Veronica, who's the main lady that started the charity and still is very much the drive of it now. But she was saying that then will buy approximately 90 bras. The NHS ones are very, very basic. And not really inspiring to make you feel nice about yourself, which is, I would think, something that's really important at that stage in a woman's life. So it's great that they just do really basic stuff that really just help normal people in small ways, big ways, anyway. It's fantastic.
They always going about like cancer affects 1 in 2 people or 1 in 3 people or whatever, or the statistic they put out. And it's just like, okay, out of 2 people I know, there's 1 person. But I defy anyone to not know someone in their family who's had breast cancer. There's 4 women in my family have. My mother, my grandmother never had it, so it wasn't a hereditary thing.
Yeah.
My godmother had it, and she had it at a time when it was not as survivable as it is now.
Yeah.
In early detection, but the change is massive.
Yeah, definitely. And it's brilliant. It is survivable now, but the key is early detection. Early, so, ladies, everybody. Check yourself. Same for men. Everybody, just have a little route around every now and then, and make sure you're
okay. Well, when Doc got it, there was no screening techniques for it other than a poke and a prod, effectively, and a guess.
Yeah, but it's much better now. Things have, and that's because of people like this, that go out there, raise money, and that all goes to research and things like that. So it's everybody doing their little bit to make everybody's lives easier. So it's a fantastic charity.
It is.
Marvellous. So that's that one.
Can I add as well about the Ladies Fighting Breast Cancer? There's an event, I think I should have checked the date, but they're doing a wellbeing event as well in Bromsgrove on the 20th. It's a Sunday, so lots of wellbeing providers there. I shall be there doing some stuff. So again, helping to raise money as well.
Well, if you're supposed to be there, I check the date, mate.
Well, yeah, I will do, but I probably should have checked it before I spoke. But I'm pretty sure it's 20th of October.
All right. Where is that in Bromsgrove?
I will check. Okay. I will need to check. I'll grab my phone in a second.
We'll put it in the show notes. We don't do.
Show notes. We don't do.
If anybody wants to know, message me. I'll let them know.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, because they do lots and lots of bits and pieces around the place and some really, really good stuff.
Where can people message you while we're on the same subject?
They can find me on social media. Most of my handles on social media are Steve Hypnosis on Twitter, on Facebook, Instagram, and all those things.
Superb.
Cool. Okay. What's next up?
Birmingham Tech Week.
Birmingham Tech Week. So this is one I know very little about. If anyone that knows me knows, I am the most un-tech person that ever lived. I can't. Just some of the simplest things.
That's why you resorted to threats to stop me walking away from pushing the buttons.
Yes. If it came that I had to push the buttons, oh my God, only knows what would happen. But yeah, I'm not a tech person at all. But this is all them. It's going on all this week. First one. Looks like it's been extremely successful. They've had really, really a lot of people going in and interacting with it and attending all the workshops and the seminars and things like that. And it's really, it's very, very specific to different areas, isn't it? So it's for tech people that's in different areas of like either finance or health and things like that.
Well, I think the first thing is if you want to show the city off, you turn the city into a campus for the conference, and that's what's happened here. You've got AlphaWorks being used, Institution of Translational Medicine, Santander are in it, one of their branches. Mm-hmm. That, you know, there's an awful lot of places that are highlighting great areas of the city, which is good. Some of the talks are a bit niche.
Yeah. Well, I suppose they will be, because if you want to attract all of the higher part of the different organisations and things like that, they want to talk about specific niche things, don't they?
Well, there's some that are clearly self-promotional. There are some that are interesting in the concept of them. I think the first one there, impact of AI on SME finance.
Yeah.
Because I know AI in terms of query resolution in websites and that kind of stuff, that's a massive thing at the moment. If you can program your virtual assistant on there to start answering 90% of the questions that people are going to come on with.
Well, this
that's
is
because, massive in terms of cost saving.
But massive in terms of cost saving, but it's one of those also that's massive and is starting to, so many big companies are really starting to do it. And a lot of time, because I used to work for a company and they were talking about bringing this in, it's that tricky one at the moment because it's still quite expensive to do and all things like that. But it does, in the long term, save a lot of money for the company, obviously in staffing as well. And if it's a really good system, you, as a consumer, you don't know you're talking to artificial intelligence. You're pretty much, because it's programmed in that well, that it'll literally just answer any question you give back.
Mm.
And they can also, there's always most of the time, a team of real people sitting there. So
sitting watching the results,
sitting, that'll come in and take over if something's not going well.
You can spot them. The camera system that we use for industry, we went through a period, at the moment now we've got a package of data which just rolls on and it's fantastic, but for a period of time we couldn't buy that, so we had to buy data cards and we had to ring up and we had to put credit on them and roll them over and things like that.
Yeah.
And you could always tell when you got someone on AI, it's like, what would you like to do today? I'd like to add more data to my card. Yeah. Okay. Give me your 4-digit passcode. I don't have a 4-digit passcode. Okay, give me 2 and 3 of your 4-digit passcode. I don't have a 4-digit passcode.
Yeah.
And don't ask me for a memorable place because I haven't put one in either.
Yeah.
What's your memorable place?
Yeah. That is one of the downsides of it. I think it takes a few years of it being running for it to learn all that. Because once you've asked that question once, the system learns it and remembers it. So it is going to take quite a few years for it to learn every single question. And even then, it's not going to learn everything. But yeah, have you ever had any interactions with AIs or anything?
I who was it? There was one. Was it PayPal that did the thing where it sounded like somebody was typing? So you went through the AI thing and you'd say what you wanted, and they go just checking for you, and then it would ask you the next question. I don't think they do it anymore, but
two or three years ago,
I found it quite fascinating. I thought it was somebody flicking paper at first, but then I realised it's supposed to sound like somebody typing.
No, it was actually someone counting their money.
Could have been,
If you actually think it is a real person, then you find out it's not. I would have thought that there's a backlash effect on that, where you actually get to the point of like, oh, you what? I've been wasting all this time thinking I'm talking to a real person.
Yeah.
I asked you how your kids were and you didn't reply.
They are fine, thank you. I think the transparency in letting people know when you are using it and when you weren't is really useful. Definitely, because everyone wants to know, am I talking to a robot or a person?
Because then you get the positive experience, though, don't you? You get someone tweets out, I've just done the thing with Amazon that was an automated response. Wow, that was brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Perfect, And a lot of them do work so much better now, like with banks and things like that. When it all first came in, I remember voice recognition when it first came in? Say number 2 if this, and nothing ever worked, whereas 9 out of 10 things work now, don't they?
I did the ergonomics on a mail sorting system, and they had a voice recognition system for destination, so the operator would say Australia and then push the parcel on Canada, push the parcel on, and they had to pre-record 250 countries for themselves, and it was run in DOS 5. That's how old it was.
DOS 5, what was that, the name of a program?
Well, DOS was the precursor to Windows,
Windows. Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
My phone still randomly phones people, so I'll say phone mum or somebody, and it'll phone somebody else. So apologies if you do get random phone calls where I just hang up. That's the reason why. When I hear the voice answer, it's okay. Oh, wrong person.
I went through a phone.
Do you just hang up? Are you one of those that just hang up? Or would you just say, oh, joking. I'm so sorry.
No. I spend a lot of time apologising to people, yeah.
I went through a phase with Siri where I'd ask Siri a question. It'd come back with, here are cinemas near you.
Oh,
and it was cinemas. It just wanted to give me cinemas on a constant basis. And I have no idea why.
Trying to tell you something. Yeah, you need to go see more films, obviously.
Yeah, relax you.
Yeah, you need to chill out. Yeah, that's another one that's come on amazing, hasn't it? The phones.
Siri's a lot better now. I mean, you go back 3 years, or you can go back even a year. Siri was a bag.
But, yeah, but now it's 9 out of 10 times. It does literally does the action that you've asked it to do. So it's really good now. Yeah. Fab. Okay, moving on. We're determined. We're not. I'm going to keep it under control this week. We're not doing a 2-hour
in-depth coverage of events.
In-depth because we're not doing a 2-hour crazy.
So tell about me China and West Midlands one.
You've got 1 minute.
Okay, so I went to China and West Midlands yesterday. Andy Street was there and a few others, and they were talking about the interaction and the twinning almost, if you like, of Birmingham's regional council, West Midlands regional council, with areas of China and some of the exchanges that are going on.
Yeah.
And I was gobsmacked that our William Shakespeare, when he died in 1500 and whatever, 47, 42, whatever it was, there was a Chinese poet, and I won't even begin to try and remember his name because I'll get it wrong.
Yeah.
But he died in the same year, and he is supposedly the Asian William Shakespeare.
Oh, right.
And there's a massive exchange. And the guy that wrote Don Quixote as well, they've got a place called Three Dramatists Park in this region where this guy was born.
Mm.
And it's got a perfect reconstruction of Stratford.
Really?
Yeah, and they've got licenses from Stratford to rebuild all of the birthplace and Mary Arden's cottage and that kind of stuff. And the bridge that goes over the Avon, they've actually built a river which is an exact replica of the way that the Avon moves through Stratford with the exact copy of the bridge over the top of it.
Oh my God,
it was
that's
brilliant.
Amazing.
And I was gobsmacked at how much liaison and cooperation there is between China and the West Midlands.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant projects. It was really, really good stuff. Good exchange of students. Really, really, I was enthused by it. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, brilliant. I'll have to come to the next one. So how did you, I didn't even know that was going on.
Well, I went to have a meeting with Will that we know. And he just said, you fancy coming over? I'm like, yeah, I'll go over. And there was some Chinese dancing on at the start, which was brilliant. And, there was a lot of people there just talking and networking, and then they went into the auditorium around the back in the conference center, and we had 8 speakers on who explained what the links were between the West Midlands and China, and it was great, really.
Yeah, those events that you dropped in the word there, networking, they're always brilliant for networking, because you just never know who you're going to meet. You do a lot of networking, don't you, Steve?
I do a lot of networking, although according to my partner, it's me going around and eating breakfast, cups of tea, drinking and curries and things.
Out,
and just chatting to people. I'm still working on convincing her that it's work, but I'll get there eventually. I have offered to do well. So
networking is a massive, an absolute massive business thing nowadays. But when I first started out, I knew nothing about network. I didn't even know it existed. I didn't know people actually went out and did it. But once you start it, you realise how imperative it is to your business.
Yeah, I think the thing is as well that and I've seen this in actuality, of I get a lot of people who say to me, oh, I'm looking to do this, and I'm going, I know somebody does that, and I've met them through a networking event.
Yeah.
And if you get into the idea of the fact that what you are is a conduit to touch this person over here with this person over here, which is, you know, a true network, you're a node in that network.
Yeah.
And you're not the node that deals with that one person.
Yeah.
You're only connecting 2 other places.
Yeah.
Then you I think you do a lot better at it, and you get a lot more connections that way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And hopefully you get it back the other way.
Yeah.
When they make that link.
That's the aim, but you shouldn't, I don't think you should start going out like that, but yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 100%. It's great to get things like that. It's really just going out, making friends. That's why I love it.
It is, yes, definitely relationships, the primary. You've got to get over that salesy thing, which is really, really difficult at the beginning. And I did the same. I'd go and sell, and after a couple of events, I'd say, no point in going back there. I've not sold anybody anything.
Yeah.
But actually, it's more important for the relationships and the connections, like you say.
Especially with something that you do, because it's so memorable. You must walk into, when you go into a network first time and you say what you do, they must go, what? Because it's not... You don't normally come across that many people in a networking group, and specifically the business ones, because that's the area that you pretty much specialise in a lot of the time now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's I find it sometimes quite hard to find out about other people's businesses because, no, I want to talk about you. I want to know about hypnosis. I want to ask you, can you do this? Have you done that? Tell me a story about it or whatever. Yeah. So it's actually sometimes quite hard.
That's a shame. I was going to ask him most of those questions.
No, I can't answer any of those. Client confidentiality. No, we can talk about some things. But no, so I find it harder, even in a one-to-one, if I have an hour one-to-one, I start asking them about their business and them and things, and they really quickly want to know more about. But I'm lucky in that sense. I'm really lucky because I can go networking. I tend not to conflict with too many people. Yes, there are other hypnotherapists out there, of course, doing what I do. Mm-hmm. But we're all quite unique in what we do. So even if there are others there, we don't often clash. We have very different ways of working. It's a very personal thing as well. So somebody might not want to work with me from a personal point of view, but work with somebody else and vice versa. So, I am lucky. I don't carry the watch anymore. I used to carry the pocket watch. And it's a really, really funny thing. When I was early on in my networking, I was talking to somebody and they said, are you really a hypnotist? It was before I had the badge and stuff on. Really a hypnotist? And I said, yeah. And just without thinking, got the watch out, the pocket watch. They went, oh, you are, aren't you? Yeah. And so a bit of a prop that you never use. And I just found that really amazing. Again, it's that psychology about what hypnotists should be and look like and things. Yeah,
I think there's the myth around hypnosis as well, which is one that needs dispelling every time, is the fact that you can make people do things that they don't want to do, and that just isn't the case, is it?
No, that's it. No, you can't. So somebody, even if they want, or if they come to me, I suppose the most popular thing I get are parents, and they'll phone up and say, "Well, can you make my child do this? Can you make my child tidy the room or do the homework?" And unless they want to make the change, no, you can't do that. So in anything, whether it's therapeutic, whether it's stage or whatever, you can't make somebody do something that they just don't want to do, or they're not willing to do, because you never lose awareness. You're never out of it. If somebody was hypnotized in the corner of this room, they'd hear everything we were saying. And again, people believe that they're going to be out of it. And often I'll meet people and say, oh, yeah, a friend of mine did hypnosis. They didn't think they were hypnotized because they could hear the traffic outside or a fly buzzing around the room or whatever. And they then get convinced that they're not actually in hypnosis, which I spend a lot of time with people making sure that they're aware that they're hypnotized, but also aware that they will be aware when they're hypnotized.
So how do you know if someone actually, do you know what, while we're talking, let's try out one of these alcohol free.
Well, I'll tell a story while you pop that.
Yeah.
So I did an ergonomics qualification many years ago, and part of that was a psychology element about why a person pulls a switch, hits a button, reads a dial, that kind of thing. A thing called T-sway, which things should work as people expect. And on an offshoot of that, I learned a little bit of hypnosis. I'm not even close to you, mate, but I worked with a few golfers on two of the golfers were on the Ladies European Tour. And one of the girls I worked with, she was doing rather well in the China Open. And we'd done a whole load of stuff about making her feel confident, making her feel relaxed in pressure situations. And she was three shots clear going down the last and ended up with a triple bogey and going into a playoff and lost the playoff. So she finished second. And her father was an ex-Scotland rugby player. And he said, I can't understand why she's done that. You know, all the stuff that you've done with her. I said, I can't make her not be afraid of giving a speech at the end. And that was the thing, is I could convince her she was the God's gift to golf. But she came down the last thinking, I've got to make a speech if I win. There's 25,000 Chinese people here who are going to hear me talk. And I don't know if I can cope with that. And all of that just kicked back in and undid absolutely everything that was in there, because she can't stop that fear from resurfacing. You know, if it means that much to her, you can't make it not happen.
No, so I mean, once she knows it's a problem, or if she admits it's a problem, then you can work to change that problem, to change that outlook. And a lot of what I do is very much what I would call future pace. So it's all about imagining themselves without a problem, or imagining themselves achieving a goal. And that might sound really simple, but when you're doing it in hypnosis, you're doing it in the subconscious part of your mind, your imagination is very much enhanced. It's very real. The sensations are even greater than they are in real life, for want of a better description. And so you train the mind then to do that new thing, whatever that new thing is. So golf is a great example as a game, but then also in the case of the public speaking, I'm working with somebody at the moment on their networking nerves. So they go to pieces just doing a 60-second pitch. And so much so they're struggling to breathe, and I've heard them do it. And so they're really struggling with it. Or they were, they're not now. And straight away after just the first session, people were saying, there's something different about you, where you delivered your 60 seconds. And that was the starting point for that, was just imagining, just getting that person hypnotized and then getting them to imagine themselves successful.
It's the kind of a statement that you get when someone comes to see you, which is like they stand there and you go, okay, so tell me what you want. And they go, I wish I didn't. And you're kind of like, okay, you said the word wish, so therefore, you know, I can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had somebody phone me, lady phone me about her daughter. I think she was 16, 17 and said, yeah, my daughter's late for everything. Can you make her be on time? And I said, well, late for everything. She said, yeah, absolutely late for everything. You know, and whether it's school, whether it's home, friends, whatever. And I said, well, what does she say? And she just shrugs her shoulders and says, it doesn't matter. People will wait. In that case, then I can't. If she was saying, wish I wasn't late for things, you know, a part of me holds me back for some reason, then yeah, we can work with that. But the fact that she doesn't appear to care is makes it really hard to work with,
I am an utter believer in the power of hypnosis. This man can change your life, but you've got to want to change it. That's the key.
Yeah, you've got
to do it. You've got to want to make that change.
Yeah.
You've got to admit there's an issue in some case, addictions, things like that. The hardest bit is for somebody to go, yeah, I've got this problem and I want to make a change. Yeah. And then you can do it. Yeah.
That core essence of what hypnosis is, I'm a thorough believer in. And I know it works. Mm. I've seen it.
Come on, let's try
this. Right, which one's this?
Are you going to tell us?
Right, okay. So this is a Hoppy Lager, Brooklyn Special Effects.
Now, I like Brooklyn.
This is Brooklyn Special
Brooklyn
Effects.
Brooklyn Lager,
yeah. So it's alcohol-free, but it is 0.4%. Teeny, eeny, weeny, weeny little
0.5 is the threshold, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's alcohol-free if it's less than 0.5 or less. Yeah.
So there's always a little teeny, weeny bit into anything. But yes, yeah, so that's the...
So going on David Glenwright's... yeah, there we go. So going on David Glenwright's smell with each nostril.
Okay.
That's natural. That's very... No, David was...
Yeah, I did listen to that one,
It actually smells like a proper beer. There's hints of...
You said that's nice.
Yeah, I could drink that.
Yeah, that's I could really drink that.
That's probably one of the nicer ones I've had. That one.
That's lovely. That
see the,
is, yeah.
the old alcohol beers, you know, like go back to the days of Caliber.
Yeah,
there was always a faint hint of antifreeze at the back of it, wasn't there?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's not in that.
Yeah, no, that's a really nice one. They've done that really well.
I've tried Nanny State, the BrewDog one. And that just kind of masks the antifreeze taste with hops, and you can't.
That's actually lovely.
That's really nice.
I could drink that quite easily.
Once you're into your second one of those, I bet you wouldn't believe that you weren't drinking.
It's refreshing as well.
It is.
That is a really nice one. Anyone that's doing Stoptober, go out and try that one. Brooklyn Special Effects Hoppy Lager. Very nice one.
I'll tell you what. So we do a show, we do the techno podcast shows this afternoon and this evening.
Yeah.
And we used to do them with a lot of beer. That wasn't a good idea for sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I miss not having a beer when I'm doing the show. I would gladly buy a couple of dozen of those and stick them in my fridge here.
Yeah.
And crack them during the show. That would be a stable drink. And I could drive home afterwards.
Yes.
I love it. You got, really what, is nice. It 8-1 unit there? Or 12 Ready? To 1 unit? If you drink 8, you can get to 1 unit.
Yeah. I just said
because sometimes when you're out, you still want to look like you're having a beer.
A lot of time on the bar. People will ask for a pint of, it might be whatever it is they're having, lemonade or whatever like that. But they like to hold that pint glass.
Yeah.
And to have the, rather than just having a little glass of Coke and things like that. So they'll do, I think it's almost like a confidence thing as well. Mm. You know, when you're drinking, you kind of get that, after the first one, you get that, I can take over the world.
Yeah. So I've been on the diet and I've been good at not drinking beer for a while, but when I go out with the rugby guys after the game, I have far better nights when I'm drinking. And I start, even before I've even finished my first pint, I'm talking completely differently to them than if I was stood there with a Coke in my hands. With a Coke, I tend to be a bit more silent and a bit more...
I think that's
reticent.
Confidence, though, isn't it?
And but it's not alcohol because I haven't finished the first beer and I'm still talking differently.
Yeah. But in your head, your head is going, I'm having a beer. It's going to be a good night. Mm. It's all positive. But when you start the night off going, I'm not drinking. You're going, oh, it's going to be a bit crap. Everyone's going to get drunk around me, and it's going to.
I've got
to
drive,
deal
so,
with
yeah,
all.
Yeah.
And you're on that negative thing straight away.
Yeah. I am going out after this podcast.
Yes.
And I need to tell you where you got that.
Waitrose.
Waitrose. I'm going to find a Waitrose. Yeah. I don't know whether there's a Waitrose right here.
Don't you?
And I'm not coming back until I got 24 of them.
Yeah.
In the
24
fridge.
Of them?
Well, in the fridge.
Oh, God.
We got a couple of weeks supply there.
I think it was on offer as well. I think there were like three for something.
Because it's alcohol free.
Yeah. Yes. I think it was on offer.
But no, you're right though about the even the psychology of having a drink and that, that creating that relaxed feeling. Because if you were drinking that and you were busy talking and things, subconsciously you'd feel as though you were drinking beer and that would give you that feeling as if there was alcohol.
Would that be an anchoring thing? I don't know much about anchoring, but that would be an anchoring thing. Which is a big part, isn't it?
It is. So your subconscious could very easily be fooled or believe that you're drinking beer and you have that effect of it. Now, whether it gets to the point where you'd feel drunk, you can hypnotize somebody in an entertainment type environment, a stage hypnosis environment, and give them a glass of water and tell them it's the strongest alcohol they've ever had, and they'll feel those effects. So you can create that effect for somebody of being drunk without the hangover. So
have you done stage hypnosis as well?
I learned stage hypnosis. I learned it so that I could work with businesses. So if I go into a company to talk to them about using hypnosis with their salespeople or on stress release and things, and they said, okay, show us something.
Yeah.
I learned it so that I could choose volunteer from an audience. I can test them. I want somebody who's going to hypnotize quickly. And then those techniques to have that and that confidence for me as well, to be able to sit at the front of a room with somebody and get them into hypnosis deep enough to do some demonstrations. And those demonstrations might be something really simple, like losing a number. So when they count their fingers, they go to six because they can't say five or something. And it's just something really simple, or sticking their hand to the table, just something so that you can say, look, if you can do that just with your mind, then what else can you do? What else can you do about resilience, your sales team bouncing back from rejection and things like that? So I learned it to do that. And also that led me into, for a little while, doing some demonstrations as well of previous life investigations, which I don't do a lot of now. But when I started out, I sort of found that niche almost in doing that. So I'd sell tickets or an organizer would sell tickets and I might get 80, 90 people in an audience. I'd select three, sometimes four, using those techniques, and then do a live past life regression.
It's fascinating.
So, I mean, it's a very fascinating area, very emotive areas as well. We talked about a little bit beforehand. And I don't do a great deal of it now because it is, there's no other way to put it, it's a bit woo-woo for people. And it does scare some people off, the thought that you might do that. But for other people, I know if I stand up in a business networking and go, oh, and by the way, I do a bit of past life regression work, there'll be some people who'll come forward going, wow, always wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Never known who to speak to about it. And then there'll be some people who'll, no, I don't want to talk to you anymore. You do this strange thing, thing. Yeah. And so it's, and you know, I don't impose any particular beliefs. And even when I was doing the demonstrations, I didn't impose any particular beliefs. I really deliberately kept myself on the fence, because I got experiences that I saw with people where sometimes, yes, it could be made up, sometimes it potentially could be real, and all sorts of other things in between as well.
Have you ever had ones where people have pretended to be hypnotized and tried to make a load of stuff up?
From
Can you spot? So how do you spot? That's the question. How do you spot if someone is actually hypnotized? If they're always awake and conscious in the room, how do you know if someone's hypnotized?
So somebody who's hypnotized, therapeutically, somebody's hypnotized, I get them to open their eyes and talk to me while they're hypnotized, and they will describe the effects, which is quite often a heaviness. It's quite often something that's, they just feel different. They'll say, oh, my arms feel really heavy, my legs feel really heavy, I don't really want to open my eyes. And also, they might just stare ahead and not actually, I might be sat to one side and they'll never turn towards me. They'll be talking to me. And sometimes they might even say, oh, can I just go back to where I was, please? It's nice there. So you can tell very quickly. And a stage hypnotist is trained to spot people who are pretending, because people want an excuse to go up and do entertainment to entertain
and just have
the
crowd.
Limelight.
Have a bit of centre of attention. I can't imagine what type of person would want to do something like that. No.
But however hard they try,
who wants to be the centre of attention?
However hard they try, they'll never be able to pretend to be completely subconscious. Subconscious mind is the doer; it just gets on. So you could hypnotize two people in a stage environment or a demonstration environment who've never met and get them in nice deep hypnosis and say, in a moment, you'll imagine you've been married for 10 years and you're going to have a domestic dispute over something. Now, you two know each other, but if you two didn't know each other consciously, there'd be that element of, what are we going to talk about? how do we do this? Whose mother-in-law we're going to argue about, or toilet, who leaves the toilet seat up, or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And you'd have to do a bit of a script consciously. Yeah. And I'd be the same consciously. If you do that in a stage environment or any hypnotized environment, it's instant. First couple of sentences seem a little bit disjointed to us watching, but then really, really quickly, within seconds, they get into the full flow of some dispute, some argument about mother-in-law, toilet seat, or whatever, or whatever it might be. And you're not telling them any of that. You're just saying, married for 10 years, you can have an argument. 1, 2, 3, you're awake and you're doing it. And that's the power of the subconscious mind.
People, it is fascinating how people powerful say to me, your go, mind is.
People often say, oh, you must hate stage hypnosis because it sets a bad example. But a good stage show is a really, really good example of how powerful it's, hypnosis is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What a fantastic segue to say that Andrew's in the chat room and says, hola.
Is he there? Hello. Where is he?
Hello, Andrew.
There he is. Hello, Andrew. How are you? You all right? He finished this. He has a hard day. Bab, did you say Bab?
No, I'm sorry. You press play. The audio's coming out. Should we do the second one?
Sorry, guys.
Second one,
yeah. Right, so while I'm opening this, one of the questions I want to ask now is, so while you've, because the regression side I find fascinating, so while you've regressed somebody, what's the most, obviously without saying anything too much that person would connect it, what's the most strange life that someone's told you they've had? Or fascinating, something that you've gone, wow. Or are they always
Good question, because actually the life will identify the person. So,
And I mean, some people argue, some people believe that past life stuff is completely made up.
Mm.
But even on that basis, whenever I've worked with people, sometimes they're really mundane, really normal. Quite often they were really mundane, really normal. But they're very relevant to that person. And in the early days of doing them, I'd get to the end and think, wow, nothing really happened. We'd find that, and then they'd get to the end and they'd say, wow, that was really useful. Really, really explained a lot to me. So those were the more common ones, but there were some, you would get some where it would be, one demonstration event. I had somebody who was sort of looking down on the world. So they weren't really present in this world. They'd found themselves looking down and being like an observer and things like that. Another demonstration event, this person was talking, and so this is in front of an audience, 50-60 people. They're talking about a blue entity. They're talking about a very, very ancient time and these blue entities that were sort of tribal leaders and things, and you don't know where it's coming from. Potentially it could be very real. Who's But then on the practical side, I had a chap come to me. I was doing regressions, so this is a long time ago now, we're doing regressions for a charity. So ran a day of regressions, contacted me and said he was having flashbacks, he was having these things that he couldn't explain. He turned up with his wife with a notepad, and he spontaneously regressed when we started working. Now, normally I put in lots of controls to be able to stop things, to pause things, to detach people, because people do experience things very real often in a regression. In any hypnosis,
if you went back and something bad, or it was a bad life, or something had bad happened.
Yeah, you tend not to be a perpetrator of bad things. Again, we're getting into beliefs, but they don't appear. So you're particularly nasty people in the history. Certainly my experience in looking at other people's work and books and things, they tend not to appear. But you might be a soldier in a past life and fighting in battles and things. So yeah, this guy spontaneously regressed. So he bypassed all my things that, excuse me, I told him I was going to do. And then went through this really vivid description about being ambushed in a battle in being... he talked about he was on a machine gun at one time, and he was doing all the actions as well. So he wasn't just sitting there placidly. He was sweating. He was, he had to get this out. And I sat there and thought, he's bypassed all these controls, so I can't detach him. I can't change anything really from him. So just going to let him go. His wife was sat very calm, which meant a lot to me. She obviously knew what was coming. Just let him get on with it and let him describe it all. And afterwards, it was almost like this weight had come off his shoulders because he'd finally unraveled whatever these memories, dreams, flashbacks were. So
that's an important point as well, isn't it? Whether you believe it or not, it's irrelevant. If the bloke walks out, I'm happier.
Absolutely, yeah. That was always my belief when I was doing them. My stretch was, if people say, oh, it must be made up. Well, if it is, that's, if it tells a story to that person and they come out of it, you know, explaining an ache or pain or a way they feel about something, then yeah, that's great. Now, some purists would listen to that and go, oh, no, you've got it. No, you must believe. You must impose beliefs on past lives.
No, I mean, I've been other people in dreams I've had.
Yeah.
Or I've acted out other things and believed I was somewhere else in dreams that I've had in the past. So why can't that be the same place?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And if it's a coping mechanism, if it's that one thing that helps someone deal with something or is a difficult stage in their life or anything like that, so what?
Yeah.
No, if it gets them through a stage, if it gets me through something,
But my approach nowadays is generally more direct. It's intervention. It's taking things. Again, somebody who does just past life work, if somebody comes along with a fear or a phobia, they'll say, okay, we need to do a regression. We need to, because the fear or phobia will be found in that regression, they would normally say, and may well be as well. So I can't say that it's not the right approach. But for me now, it would be, okay, let's work on you being without that thing and what the goals are, what the end result is, whether that's, say, fear, phobia, business, sports, whatever.
Yeah. So we'll have a chase this. Next question, ever think about what we're doing, it is, what's the strangest thing someone's come to you and said, I'm really frightened of this?
Okay. I'm thinking.
So this one is Sam Adams. There it is up there. So Adams Southwold. Ghost ship 0.5, so it's just right literally on the brink of alcohol free. But
here we go.
Another good one.
It smells nice. Not strong.
It smells very similar.
Yeah, so it's a similar smell, but not as strong, I don't think.
Not as strong. The first one by far, I think, is my favourite.
Yeah.
As soon as I taste that, I prefer that one.
Yeah.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah. It would have been interesting if we tried these the other way around, actually, because that's not unpleasant, but it's not as nice.
Yeah, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. That's
if we'd have had just that one, the second one first.
And
it's
nice.
Now, that feels dishwatery in comparison. It doesn't feel like it's got the strength and depth of the taste of it as the other one has.
Yeah, I think, I think maybe some of that as well is because this is more of a hoppy. They've actually made it to be more hoppy.
Yeah.
But
there's hops in this, though, it's definitely.
Hops, but not as much.
Mm. It's not unpleasant.
It's nice. This one's definitely a winner. I'm going to get some of this for Andrew.
No question. The only problem I've got with this is I was just sitting thinking, oh, alcohol free, I could have loads of it on the diet. I can't. It's still got loads of carbohydrate in it. So
definitely.
Yes. Yeah. Health wise, probably not. Still not so good for you. I had a really nice one, and in true theme of being vague today and not remembering dates and things, I couldn't tell you what it was called, but it was one of the cloudy ones. So it was a wheat beer. It was a cloudy beer, but it was an alcohol free one or a very low alcohol.
Oh, is that
one.
That's the Erdinger.
Erdinger,
could well have been.
They do a very good
one. It was
one.
Lovely, yeah. Really
Erdinger
nice.
Erdinger made
lovely
beer.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah, Erdinger their alcohol-free is very good.
And their Dunkel. We talked about Dunkel last week.
Dunkel.
Their Dunkel is
the
stunning.
The good thing about the Erdinger alcohol-free one is it's a pint bottle, which is another thing, going back to what we said earlier about people like to have the pint. When you have these little ones, everyone's kind of like, but when you've got an alcohol-free pint one into a pint glass, that is really, everyone really likes that. 100%. That's a nice one, that is. Yeah. There's a few. It's so much better nowadays for the alcohol-free ones out in the market. There's so many of them.
I was dreading this morning.
Why?
Because it's alcohol-free. But actually,
it's all
not
right.
bad.
You see?
Yeah.
Keep an open mind, isn't that? That's, you never know what could happen.
Yeah.
You got me.
Yes. So, come on, strangest thing that someone said they're frightened of.
So, I suppose it's the fears and the phobias are the strangest ones, and people have talked about phobias of eggs. I'm not a big believer in going back to try and unravel where a fear or phobia has come from, but you still read about it. Some therapists do, counselling does. Again, nothing wrong with that. It works for people. So I tend not to worry too much about where things have come from, but I've read of things such as lady with a fear of birds, and you think, well, how's that happened? Where's that come from? And there was the recollection was that I can't remember, they used hypnosis to get there, whether it was just a talking therapy, but they got to the root of it and found that as a toddler she was in the pushchair and a bird had flown into her face in the park while her mum was talking. So by the time mum had turned around to see what the child was screaming about, the bird had gone, and then it's a case of, you're always crying, what's wrong with you? And because there's no real, doesn't appear to be any real reason, it's just the child being miserable and screaming. But actually it was a bird, which then of course leads to that whenever there's a bird around, because the subconscious mind, all it's doing is protecting us. It's interested in protecting us. You had a lady with difficulty swallowing food when she was in a social eating environment, and she'd witnessed a couple of people choking in that social sort of dinner party thing, you know, where you're talking and eating and there's, you end up covering a spluttering, but these are people properly choking. So her subconscious had gone, best way to stop that happening is I'll make you really anxious about eating in public.
That's interesting, because I don't like flapping. Yeah. I hate flapping.
Yeah.
And a big bird wings or big butterflies.
I thought you meant like me when I'm getting a bit stressed out, just going around flapping around.
That's aversion therapy, mate. I have to put it with that. So I don't like flapping and I don't know why.
Mm. And it could be, And sometimes I'll get somebody to go back and understand it but not relive it.
Yeah.
Because we do make things worse. We were talking about this a little bit earlier, weren't we, before we started recording, but we retell a story, and when we do make it worse every time, or in our heads we make it worse. I had a chat with a fear of driving. That's quite common. I've got a lot of people that have come to me with fear of driving. And he'd had an incident, I think it was back in the 90s, where the way he felt about it and sort of talked about it, you'd think it was a major, major accident that he'd had, a really life-changing accident. But then when we did get him, I did get him to look at it just from a distance and just actually go back with grown-up eyes and look at it now sort of thing. And he went, oh, actually, I did okay. I missed that thing. I didn't crash. I actually missed that lorry on the motorway that cut me up. Yes, it was scary.
Yeah.
But he, in his head, he'd made it worse and worse. Yeah. Self-talk, telling the story at parties or whatever it might have been.
Yeah.
But he made it worse and worse, to the point then where it was affecting him driving.
Yeah.
So, fears and phobias. So you do get some strange ones. So I think the most unique one I heard, somebody asked me about, we didn't do any work on it in the end. They decided it didn't bother him too much, was a fear of eggs. Real eggs.
Eggs.
Boiled. Yeah, eggs. So chickens, eggs, birds, eggs.
Ew. Just strange, isn't it?
An absolute aversion to them, a phobia of them, that they couldn't look at them, go near them.
Yeah. I don't think I've got any phobias to any physical thing. I think I have, not phobias, I have fears of more things that I want. I have fears of things that I fear that I won't achieve something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to get to old age and look back and think, oh, I should have done that. I could have done that. I should have made that work. That's my only thing that I fear. I don't fear any physical things.
I'm scared of Marie. Can you help me with that?
If you want that.
No, there's no help with that. And you should be very scared of me.
It is quite a, for me, a phobia is someone will run out in traffic to get away from it. That's serious that they would put themselves at risk rather than face that worm on the path, or wasp that's flying around, or spider or whatever, that's a phobia.
Do you remember the Mobo thing a few months back? There was this picture of this elongated Tim Burton-like face, and there was a video where they were telling kids to do certain things.
Mm. And it would flash up into different cartoon things and things like that.
Yeah,
but the
Momo
YouTube
picture.
Yeah.
We were scrolling through. Riley wanted to do like some Halloween pictures last week, so we came down this year. We have a Daddy and Birdie's Adventure Day, which is doing photos.
Mm.
Last week was Halloween, so we said, well, let's look up scary faces on Google and see what faces you could pull. And as soon as the Momo thing up, she just went like that straight away and covered her eyes. And she said, I need you to move that, Dad. I'm like, what? She said, there's a picture of Momo there. I need you to move it. And like, there was no actual proof of that Momo thing doing anything. It was just the sheer hype
It's marketing and it's propaganda.
But
my
daughter
cannot.
Would she run into traffic for it? I really hope not. But the response was extremely quick and extremely vehement.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can make people frightened of something by just telling them you should be frightened. If you tell someone enough, and that's been proven throughout the years with so many different things in history.
I don't mind horror films. I quite like horror films, but there's only the only one that ever really kind of bothered me was the one with Michael Keaton, White Noise, was it?
I don't know.
Where it was like the TV screen that was the medium, and that actually quite spooked me a little bit. I don't know why.
I'm not a horror film
enjoy
type
watching
person.
That one.
Yeah, I'm not that type of. Yeah. We're going to wrap up now because we're not doing a 2-hour one.
We could go on forever.
We're going to wrap.
You're as interesting as beer tasting, mate. That's kudos.
No, that's good. No, it's good. I work with a lot of people on reducing their drinking, so that's a really good thing to know more about those.
Yeah,
so I can talk to people about them,
Good.
What we'll have to do is come back on another time and we'll do one. But it's actually, it'd be really good to try and do a a thing on here.
You've got to be careful about doing live hypnosis down a one-way medium.
Yeah, we can't. So there's restrictions around, for safety reasons anyway, but there are actual restrictions around broadcast of the induction. If you watch something on telly, you see little clips of the induction, but you don't see anything at all of the whole thing. Once somebody's in hypnosis, you can set up that thing where when I tap you on the forehead, you're going to go back into hypnosis, and you can then do that live because you're not doing anything.
I think we should do it to you.
I'll have a go.
There you go.
You have to be up to the finger snap point.
That's it. Once you've got to that point, and you know, people go, "Is it as easy as just snapping your fingers?" No, it isn't. But once you've got to that point, it is. That's where you're going to come across some people in life.
Yeah.
I've had a guy in a pub where I just started circling my finger, and he was off.
Gone.
That was it.
Oh my god!
It's a belief thing, isn't it? If they believe you can do that. Same with what I'm doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. You make Marie be nice to me.
Does she want to be nice to you?
I can make you believe that she's nice to you. How about that?
I'm always nice to you. I'm nice to everybody.
You could make me believe that she's being nice no matter what she says.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
So often people say to me, can you stop my husband snoring? And no, actually, no, but I can help you, deal with this. Use the snore as a lullaby. Yeah. No,
absolutely. That's a really good idea.
I know, absolutely, yeah, and it works really well. You get other requests as well along similar lines, but we won't go into those on a family show. But yeah,
earlier on, I was just singing you a lullaby.
Stop it! I told you, you're not allowed to do that on here. Stop it. Right, okay, Steve. So if anyone wants to get hold of you, if they want any advice on stopping smoking, drinking, confidence building, anything like that, how do they get in hold of
singing along to snoring?
Singing along to snoring, the snoring lullaby. On social media, I think I mentioned earlier on, so Steve Hypnosis is virtually everywhere social media wise. My website is executivehypnotist.com, all one word, executivehypnotist.com, or googling Steve Woods Hypnotist will find me pretty much as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely works.
Yeah, it does. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Mr. Rankin, how do people get hold of you?
My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, and you can get me at 12 Space Media on Instagram as well. British Tech Network is another thing that we do. This podcast is hosted on the British Tech Network servers, and TSO hosts are our sponsor on there. They're fantastic. They pick up all the bandwidth, which we wouldn't be able to afford if they didn't support us. If you need hosting, domains, server space, that kind of stuff, they do a VPS service at the moment that starts at £40 a month. And if you use the offer code BTN20, you get 20% off. And we're not getting paid by them to do this. They just pick up all the costs of running this. So we owe them a big thank you. So please support them if you possibly can.
Absolutely, yes. And what about your new website?
Yeah, ranking.photography. There's a new website up. It is good. I'm really chuffed with it. It came out really well.
Yeah, it is a brilliant website. It's a good example of all your work.
Thank you, mate.
You're welcome. Right, so Crack the Rootless. If you would like to be a guest, or you'd like any more information, or a subject you'd like to speak about, just email me, Marie, M-A-R-I-E, at therootlesspub.com. You can also, if you want any more information about the Rootless Pub, which is my daytime job, Mobile Bears, just take a look on our website, www.therootlesspub.com. So we shall see you all next week. Not sure who's coming on, don't know what we're doing, but we will be back.
That's the end of the podcast, and you are?
You are back in the room.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye now.